I've been turned on by John for a lot of years. We've known each other a long time.
Yes.
And you're getting better. And you were awfully good when you started. It's always great to be here in this former military chapel. You know, I keep promising myself, I've never done it, but I'm going to sneak in here sometime, open that cabinet door, and see if there's still a crucifix back there, as it used to be. But we know God is everywhere, so we know it doesn't matter, really. Aren't you glad that you're in religious science?
Yes.
Yeah. I'm glad to be part of your religious science. I'm a Unity minister, and I'm glad of that, too. And the important thing, one of the important things, that somebody asked me just the other night, as a matter of fact, said, what's unique about Unity? Same thing would apply to religious science. I said, we accept everybody. And she says, well, all churches say that. I said, yeah, but we mean it. Big difference. We accept everybody. It's not so always the case over there in Ireland. Now, you have to know there was in Ireland there was the Catholics, and there are those of the other faith. And so it was this fellow Murphy, an older man, dying he was, and he calls to his son. He says, go get the Protestant minister. He says, I'm going to convert. He says, Dad, you can't do that. You've been a Catholic all your life. He says, it's my dying wish. Go get the Protestant minister. So he does, and he comes, the Bible under his arm, and he says a few prayers, get him to sign something. In the meantime, the Catholic priest has got word something's going on over there. So he rushes over, gets to the house. The Protestant minister's coming out the door, and he says, it's too late, Father. He says, I've got him. So he dashes upstairs. He says, Murphy, what have you done? All these years a Catholic, and now you become a Protestant? Well, he says, it's like this, Father. He says, I thought if somebody had to go, it better be one of them than one of us. We are very ecumenical in religious science and in Unity. We, in fact, it was just a few weeks ago that all of Christianity, all of us, celebrated the birth of a Jewish boy, the son of a Jewish mom and dad, witnessed by Jewish shepherds, and surrounded by angels of no ethnic background or religious preference. Isn't that great? That was a happy time. This is a happy time. It's always a happy time. And so today I'm going to talk about happiness, being truly happy. And to be truly happy, we need to get to the truth. So how do we do that? There's a great line from A Course in Miracles, and I think you do The Course in Miracles here too. It's just, but this, it says, every loving thought is true. So when we're stressed out with something, when we find ourselves not to be happy, we're looking for the truth. Then we go to the heart, to our love center, and know the truth and be happy. So my lesson today is about being happy. And who would not want that? But actually, there are times when we act as if we don't want to be happy. You ever felt like that? Yeah. The answer is yes, by the way. Sometimes we're downright committed to being unhappy. Such was the case with this lady, Kate, over there in Ireland. She was born unhappy, she was. And just to ensure that she remained unhappy, she married Michael. And that worked. And she decided she was going to have a great a feast. And so they lived on the Connemara coast on the west of Ireland. And snails were prevalent. She was going to serve snails. So she gives Michael a bucket and go get some snails. And he does. And on his way back, he has to pass by the pub. Well, it would be impolite for him to not stop in, at least to say hi, which he does. And he stays too long. He realizes what time. He makes a dash for home, goes running, runs up the front steps, trips, spills the bucket, and there's snails all over the porch. Door opens, and Kate standing there. She says, you're late, and what's all of this? looked down and he says, "Come on, boys, we're almost there." Irishman never misses a beat. Get the answer all the time. Sometimes we let, though, unhappiness get the best of us, when we need to let happiness get the best of us, for that is, in fact, the very best of us. Lots of things we allow to get in our way, keep us from being happy. We don't like to admit it, but most of those things that get in our way, we have caused ourselves. Bad news, but good news is that because we caused them, we can take them away. It's not so much what happens to you, you've heard this many times, but how we choose to deal with what happens to us. Lots of things get in our way. For instance, there's a great line, another line from the Course in Miracles that says, it asks the question, would you rather be right or be happy? It is amazing how many times we choose to be right as opposed to being happy. It's a terrible thing. We do it to ourselves. And it's a heavy thing because once you decide that you're right, then you get stuck with it. And if you're arguing with somebody else, they're stuck with what they're doing. So you're both stuck and you don't get anywhere. Have you ever been there? Yes, you have. When we talk about being right, it's more a feeling, isn't it? Why shouldn't we hold on to our convictions if we believe a thing? It's, again, what happened over there in Ireland, this young lass going to confession, she was, and she goes into the little box there, and the priest slides the little slide back and forth. There's a little mesh in between. Supposedly he can't see you, but he can. He knows who you are. And she says, starts to pray. Bless me, Father, for I have sinned. It has been a week since my last confession. She says, I must confess to the sin of pride. And she says, how is that? She says, well, every time I look in the mirror, I can't help but thinking how beautiful I am. He says, Faith, darling. He says, that's no sin. He says, that's a mistake. What is being right anyhow? There's a, you may know of his name, from Richard Carlson, who wrote a wonderful book called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. Recall that book? He wrote another book on happiness. He posed in it an interesting principle. It's the principle of separate realities. And this is what he says. It's impossible for two human beings of the same culture or not, to see things precisely alike. There are no exceptions to this rule. How we see things depends on input that we got from our parents, from our teachers, various backgrounds, our interpretation of things, our memory, which is, you know, and the circumstances of our lives, our mood level. Yeah, mood level. Ever try to deal with somebody who's in a bad mood? Doesn't work. The best thing you can do is to get out of their way, to wait it out, to wait it out. If someone's in a low mood level, just love them and leave them. And that's particularly true if that person happens to be you. Yeah, you. To understand the principle of separate realities would eliminate quarrels, eliminate the need to insist that somebody else see things our way. I have a dear friend. We've done a lot of traveling with him, and still the dearest of friends. He happens to belong to a different political party than the one to which I adhere. And we know that, and we try to avoid it, and inevitably it sneaks in the side door, and there we are talking about it again. And it doesn't do any good. Of course, you don't get anywhere with it. But usually, when something happens, we decide, okay, we're going to let that go. We're going on to something else. And we do. And the something else is always better. But thinking about that one time, and I do a bit of writing, mainly for my own benefit, and I like particularly, it's a good exercise, writing exercise. You're familiar with the poem, the haiku, Japanese nature verse, 17 syllables exactly, usually 5, 7, 5. So thinking of my friend and our discussion and what I should do from here on in, pray that I do, I wrote this. Forget your party. I see you not as red or blue. I see only you. I see only you. God, if I can do that all the time. And I will. If we understand this principle of separate realities, there's no reason to take things personally. What others say or do, it's coming from a different input, coming from a different point of view, really does nothing to do with you, or very little, for sure. To expect someone to see as we do is a sure way to unhappiness. I love you just the way you are is the way to freedom and to happiness. So I'd like to pause for just a minute now. And I'm going to ask you to think of someone you may be having difficulty with. I'm going to ask you to close your eyes because I don't want you looking at anyone in particular. Close your eyes, if you will, and think of someone you may be having some difficulty with. Or worse than that, the very worst than that is that you're anticipating having difficulty with somebody. Think of that person, get a good picture of them, and say to them silently and to yourself, I love you just the way you are. I love you just the way you are. Amen. So we release the need to prove ourselves to be right. We don't mess with moods. They come and go. We accept our separate realities and enjoy happy harmony. What else do we need? Well, we always need guidance. And the good news is we have a guidance system built in. It's our feelings. Our feelings can tell us when we are not on the right track. If we feel bad in our body, mind, and soul, we know we're not on the right track. It tells us we're in a low mood. And in a low mood is not a time to have a discussion with somebody, a difficult discussion. And it's not a time to make any decisions in your life. Wait it out. And it will go. And then there's that present moment thing. Unity and religious science have been teaching about present moment for over 100 years. Eckhart Tolle made it famous with his book. But the principle is very simple, and it also is very difficult. When we are not thinking in present moment awareness, our unconscious thought system takes over. You are at the mercy of a lifetime of possible misconceptions, and that's what you're working with automatically in your subconscious. And the subconscious cannot tell the difference between truth and fiction. We can make ourselves unhappy by dragging the past into the present. If we honor the present as the only reality, we can deal with that as it is. Somebody told me this once, I believe it to be true, it's about dogs. That dog, if somebody harms a dog in a certain way, a dog will growl. The dog may not see this person for another 6 months. And he sees the person again, he sees him, and he growls. Handles it in the separate. The difference between a dog and us is that we growl for 6 months. We hold on to things, but we need to deal with them now, as they are now, and then move on to what is next. It's not, you know, there's another great line for the Course in Miracles I wanted to share with you, too. It says, every loving thought is true. Everything else is an appeal for healing and help, regardless of the form it takes. Regardless of the form it takes. You know when your thoughts are loving. You know particularly when they are not loving. You can feel that and your gut. We need to gather ourselves always to breathe deeply and return to love. And it's not always easy to accept our brother and sister's appeal for healing and help. The form that that takes sometimes becomes very repulsive to us. Their appeal comes from an unconscious longing for love. Someone's in your face, arguing with you, saying bad things about you. What are they doing? They're asking for love. They are. It's the truth. There's another line from the Course. It says, we are always giving love or asking for it. There are no exceptions. How can we justify responding with anger to a brother and sister's appeal for help? We go to the heart, to that love space, and we'll be shown what to do, how to handle that situation. Pause. Go to the heart, and you'll be shown the wisdom of the heart. And the glorious benefits from such a loving response, peace and joy, not only for us and for the other person, but for all the people involved with them and with us. It spreads. Haven't you found that to be true? Yeah. Sometimes when we just make up our mind, I'm not going to be angry anymore, I'm going to love this person, regardless of what's going on. And what happens? Gee, I talk about the anticipating a difficulty with somebody. That's the worst thing in the world. They haven't even done anything yet, neither of you, and already you're angry. We do that. I've done that. So, we're going to handle our relationship differently from here on in, aren't I? So I'd ask you to pause again, if you would. Close your eyes again. That's the way you like to pray. Once again, think of that person who you may be having difficulty with. And change your angry, unhappy thoughts to thoughts of love. Give now the love that was asked for then. Let us consider that idea for just a moment in the silence. Give now the love that was asked for then. Amen. I want to close with another line from the Course in Miracles. It's beautiful. It says, the holiest place on earth is where an ancient hatred has become a present love. How we can change our whole life where an ancient hatred has become a present love. Beautiful. So let us again say again that important truth which we began. If you'd like to hold your hand over your heart, you know, there's a wonderful thing that happens chemically within the body. It's called oxytocin. It's called, been referred to as a serum of love. It's also, coincidentally, something that helps a lady have a baby, creates the loving pressure that allows the baby to be born, oxytocin. So anytime you want, anytime during the day, probably don't want to do it at the grocery store. People get nervous if you're grabbing your heart. But anytime you can, you need to just go to the heart and start that chemical moving throughout the rest of your body. And as we speak, you can feel the vibration. Again, every loving thought is true. All else is an appeal for healing and help. And if you'd say that with me, every loving thought is true. All else is an appealing for healing and help. Having declared that, having declared it in your heart space, knowing that it is true, now you own it. You own it. I pray that it brings you the happiness which you have been promised. And my wish for you is that happiness now and for all the happy days ahead. God bless all here. and all those with whom we pray. Amen.